let's remain standing for prayer. O gracious, eternal Father in heaven, Thou art a God that is always faithful unto us, a God that never fails, a God that has granted to us so much promises, O Lord, and that will never fail in Thy promises given to us. And O Lord, Thy word and Thy truth is constant and sure, perfect and never failing. And yet, O Lord, as we reflect on what we have sung this morning, we wish, O Lord, we desire and we prayed that we will be true unto You, for Thou art a God of all truth. And we pray, O Lord, that in the many things that we promised Thee, to serve Thee, to live in faith in Thee, the many things that we would desire to serve Thee in, we pray that we will be true to our word and we will be true to Your word given to us. Help us, O Lord, to commit ourselves unto You as we think of our service to Thee, as servants, as missionaries. And we pray, O Lord, that You will also grant to us encouragement from Thy word to give to us faith and strength to serve Thee in. And we pray that we also reflect upon our service for this year and also to reconsecrate ourselves to serve Thee better in the year ahead. So, Lord, may You be gracious to sanctify us in this time through Thy word, O Lord, and through Thy truth. And we pray that You forgive us for our sins, cleanse and wash us with the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, and grant to us Thy blessings this morning as we start this day right with Thy word, the singing of hymns, and gathering in worship before Thee. So bless us and be Thou with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, please be seated. All right, we thank God for morning devotions and how our camp has passed by day. This will be our last morning devotion. All right, so quick. And let's continue with our study on Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 32 to verse 37. Right, we shall read this responsively. Acts chapter 20, verse 32 to verse 37. As we reflect on the topic, the missionary service. Alright, the missionary service. Right, Acts chapter 20, verse 32 to verse 37. Right, let's read this responsively. I'll begin. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. Last two verses together, 37 and 38. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. Right, amen. God bless the reading of his holy and precious word. We have already considered two of the three messages for this morning devotion series. We have, first of all, looked on the first day on the missionary servant, how all of God's servants must be missionaries, right? You must carry out God's mission in your life as you serve Him. And we also find out that all missionaries, as you go out there, you shine as lights for Christ, you also must have the heart of servanthood. Right? These two things must come together. So Paul has really explained to these Ephesian elders, who will then explain to the church what it means to carry out the gospel work in their lives as servants together in Christ. And we also look at the theme of the missionary shepherd yesterday, where Paul reminds these Ephesian elders that they're given this great privilege to be overseers, to lead God's flock, right? And Paul also would remind them that all of them together, they are also part of God's flock, right? They're under the care of God, the divine shepherd, who will also protect and watch out for his flock. But at the same time also, right? God's own people cannot just, you know, just leave everything to God and don't care. They also must be watchful, right? They must take care for themselves and for those around them, whether they're leaders or in their families or whatever ministries they're in the church, likewise for us today. And just to end off, you know, this entire great testimony and charge of Paul towards the Ephesians, down here he would charge them with the missionary service. He will give one final exhortation to exhort them, to encourage them, right, to continue on serving. That's why I've just simply entitled it as the missionary service. Right, and this morning we'll learn 4 points about service from the Apostle Paul as he encourages and exhorts them. And you know, again, as we are ending this year, right, we find that it's a very wonderful way to end the year, right? During this Christmas season, great many opportunities to serve the Lord, especially during the school holidays, right? For the children, for the youths, right? And also for the adults too. So you're able to take leave here and there, spend some time the holidays to serve the Lord. Also good to think about our service this year. And also good to think and reflect, right? And wonder, next year, what can we do for the service of the Lord? Well, how much further can we go? How can we further strengthen our service? Right? And I believe and hope that these 4 points this morning will be able to encourage our hearts together as we serve the Lord, whether we are near or far. Right? You in your small corner and I in mine. Right? All of us, we have our areas of service, your own families in the church. And as we serve the Lord together, I hope that we will gather some encouragement, right, from this passage. Now, the first point that we'd like to look at this morning is from verse 32. It's a rather long verse, but quite a number of points that we can look at from here. Now, verse 32 here will be a service of trust. There's a very simple theme of trust here, right? A service of trust. And this verse reads, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you inheritance among all them which are sanctified." Now, when Paul addresses this Ephesian elders, he just again simply addresses them as brethren. You find that Paul does this very often when he wants to emphasize that we are all just fellow brethren in the service of God, right? You know, whether you're a pastor, whether you're an elder or deacon or ministry in charge or something, these are just vocations or offices that you're given to serve in, just different roles. But at the end of the day, when we stand before God, we are just simply this, brethren. That's all, right? And these Ephesian elders, they're not below Paul. Paul reminds them that we are just brethren in the service of God, right? Paul will be away. He will be still traveling in his third missionary journey. His Ephesian elders will return back to Ephesus, but all like brethren serving Christ, right? Wherever the Lord calls them to, right? Wherever the Lord calls you and I to, right? Wherever, whatever ministries God has given to us, whatever gifts God has given to us to serve Him with, we serve together as brethren, right? And when he says here, I commend you to God. Now, this term commend here is very important in this verse, right? Because this is what Paul is expressing towards them. Right? When he says that I commend you, right, to God Himself, right, and of course to His word of grace. Now, this word commend down here is actually a financial term. Right? This term commend actually means to deposit. Now, when you want to deposit something, you will deposit it into a bank, right? And what will you deposit into a bank? You weren't going to deposit something that's worthless, right? Like you take a soft toy and then you go and deposit into the bank. Right, children, you don't do that, isn't it? What do you put in the bank? You put something that is very precious, something that is valuable to you. Okay, maybe if a soft toy is valuable, you put it into the bank. But anyway, but you find that in the bank, they will keep things that are very precious. Right, they'll keep your gold, your diamond, I mean your cash inside the bank. And when you commend, you deposit something into a bank, you want to put it into a safe bank. Right, not some bank that will just collapse at any point of time. You want to choose a good bank, a bank that's secure, and then you commend, you entrust your investments or your deposit or whatever, right, your valuables into this bank. Because you know, this bank is safe, it is good, they will protect it, they will not anyhow throw it somewhere, right, they will not misuse it, it will be safe. Right, back in Kenya, quite scary sometimes, right, some of these banks can just collapse overnight and things like that. So quite hard to find a good bank, right, just a few of them only. Right, but otherwise, more or less, we know when we want to put something into a bank, we entrust our valuables into a very safe place. Now, when Paul here commends these Ephesian elders and the Ephesian church unto God's word Himself, it is very tremendous. It's a very tremendous statement to make. Now, this shows that this precious brethren that he has, what can he do with them? Paul cannot keep on protecting them. He has to be away. He's traveling already. Who will be there to protect them? He can't do anything to protect them. And these people are so precious to his heart. He loves them as his brethren, right, as his own spiritual family. So what can he do? He just simply commends them to God. That's it. He deposits and puts them safely into the arms of God, who will protect them, right? And God, who is their overseer, right? Well, we have looked at yesterday. God, who is their divine shepherd, will take care of them. God will feed them, right? God will protect them. God will nurture them, right? And that is Paul's assurance. It's not just for Paul himself, but it is also for the Ephesian elders and the church's assurance that they are commended to God. Right? Their reliance is not that, oh, Paul is always there to protect us. Their trust is not upon Paul. Their trust is upon God Himself. And likewise, you and I, you know, when we serve the Lord, when we look at the church itself, we must remember to commend the church to God Himself. Right? The church is not just protected by the session members. Right? The church is protected by God Himself. People will come and go. People will die one day. Right? And it's not just the session who so-called protect the church. Yes, in a sense, as overseers, in a capacity, they do what they can. But overall, who truly protects the church? It is God Himself. So that is exactly why we pray for the church, why we pray for one another as brethren, commending each other to God Himself. Right? And Paul here mentions, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace. Now, what gives to them assurance that God protects them? Well, nothing else, none other than the word of His grace, the gracious word of God given to them. And this word of grace is what will anchor the church. It is what will protect the church. When they study it, they know it, they're protected because they know what is right, what is wrong. Right? So anything wrong that comes, they know this is wrong. And therefore, if they are genuine believers, they truly love the Lord, they'll be protected. They'll know this is wrong. Let's reject it. Keep it out of the church. Right? And that's how simple it is. Right? So they must study and know the word of God. Paul has taught them, and they continue to study and know. And by such, right, the word of grace will be able to protect them. And the word of grace will also be able to assure them that they are safe in God. That's why Paul mentions a little bit about two things down here. The first part refers here, which is able to build you up. This refers to their continuing edification and sanctification in God. To edify is to build up. All right. So this is what Paul is saying down here, to build you up. The more you study the word of God, these are like building blocks. Right? It's like you're building a wall and a fortress to protect yourself. So the more you learn the word of God, your fortress is getting stronger and stronger and stronger. You're building all these high towers and strong gates, right, to keep out enemies, to keep out sin. And that is what you do, right, with the simple word of grace. You build up the walls. The word of grace will continue to strengthen you. Anytime the wall is weakened, you keep building, strengthen it by studying more. And of course, that goes with prayer too, right, and all these things. But primarily, right, the word of God that will strengthen. And not just that, which is able, and sorry, the last phrase here, and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Now, Paul is reminding them down here, the word of God also assures you of your salvation. It reminds you that you already have an inheritance. It is already there for you, right, amongst all them which are sanctified. Think of all the saints in history. Do you know that you and I are amongst their ranks? We are in the same ranks as Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Joshua, David, right? And all these apostles. We are amongst them in our inheritance. We are counted amongst them if you are a believer. And isn't it very assuring to know that? That when you read the Bible, you look at all these saints and you think, wow, my inheritance is amongst them. I will see them one day. And if God has protected all these saints, right, if their inheritance, the promise of salvation is so sure for all the saints, is it not very sure in my life also? And with that, what do I have to fear? Right, when we build up and strengthen ourselves in the Lord, it is not out of, oh, I'm very, very afraid. Yes, we should be on the watch for Satan and his, you know, all his temptations and all the sins that will come our way. But it is not with a fear of Satan in that sense. But rather, right, it is with this fear of God, knowing that God Himself, right, is the one that we worship, that we revere. God is the one that keeps all this wall secure. But we just simply do our part. Remind ourselves that our anchor is upon His word of grace, upon the word of truth. And by such, we would know and understand that our inheritance cannot be taken away from us. The devil himself, no man can snatch us out of the hand of God. Right, as John 10 would greatly reassure the saints and the apostles, right, that we are His sheep, no man can snatch us out of God's own hand. And so as we anchor ourselves in the Word of God, this is why it is so central in our teachings, right? In our fellowships, in all our ministries. Because it's the only thing that anchors us. That's it. It's the anchor of every family. It's the anchor of every individual. It's the anchor of every true Bible-believing church that we are found in. And that's why we emphasize and focus so much on it. Right? And so, you know, with this simple assurance, God simply tells the church and its elders, you entrust yourselves to God in such a way. Paul commends them to be secure in God Himself. And this is why, You know, when you serve the Lord, right, whether it's in VBS, when you go for evangelism, whether you go for missions, in whatever area of fellowship or service that you enter into, it is, again, all about the Word of God. Because you simply commend people also into the Word of God. You hold a VBS, right? You've just had a VBS, right? And some of you children have attended the VBS. What is given to you? You have some art and craft, right, children? You bring home some art and craft, isn't it? You bring home some memories or so of some things that you have done. But most of all, what do you bring home with you? The Word of grace, isn't it? Right? You have the Word of grace taught to you. Teachers make you memorize, then test you on it, right? And then they give you a little bit of encouragement when you're able to do so. They are doing this. They are entrusting you into the Word of God, where God Himself can then now work, right, to save you if you have not believed in Christ. And if you believe in Christ, the Word of God can protect you and build you up. So that when you remember this Word of God, you're strengthened. So that when you go back to school or when you're at home, you know what is right and what is wrong. Right? This Word of grace will stay with you. And then you are very sure you know, I am a child of God. I was quite happy, you know, yesterday when I was talking with David, Daniel and Geraldine. Right? I asked them a few times that, you know, whether you're a believer or not. They said very surely, yes. I hope that's true, okay? So, you know, this gives you this assurance, right? How do you know it for sure? Because of the Word of God, right? I believe that's the case. Because I think you all have attended VBS, children's camp for so many times. Right? And likewise, not just for the children, but for the adults. Same thing, you go for evangelism, what do? You commend to them the Word of God, right? The Word of grace. That's why you give to them a tract. You try to explain if you can. And then you commend them to God. Because what can you do? You can only give to them the Word of God. You cannot save them, right? You cannot protect them. Right? Even when you visit someone who's spiritually down, someone who needs encouragement, what can you do for them? One of the best things is to commend them, the Word of God. Commend them to God Himself, right? Who will be able to minister to them in ways that we cannot. That is the service of trust. Right? And sometimes when we do not serve well, that is when we forget about this entrusting. We try to entrust them into our own hands. We try to protect these children with our own might and power. And that's when we will fail. Right? Not saying that you don't take responsibility. Of course, we have some responsibility. But to a certain extent, right? That's to a limited extent only. Beyond that, we can only weep and pray sometimes, right? To entrust them to the Lord. Likewise, my parents who have wept and prayed for me, right? They entrust me to the Lord when I leave Singapore. And likewise, also for parents here, to your own children and teenagers, you can only do so much, you can only spend that much time with them, and then you entrust and commend them to the Lord. Our service is always like that, right? Entrusting, right, others to God Himself, and then on our part, we do what we can to entrust the Word of God to them. Right, so it's a very, very wonderful way that Paul begins his exhortation here. Right, this is the key anchor to this exhortation. It begins with a service of trust, trusting in the Lord Himself and upon His Word. Right, a service of trust. When you come to verse 33 and verse 34, now Paul would go a little bit deeper into the heart now. Right, and Paul would share a little bit about himself, and this is a service of pure motives. Right, Paul would talk about his own motives. He would declare that his motives in service are very pure. Right, and he's exhorting also the Ephesian elders and also, of course, the Ephesian church. That our service to God must be out of very pure motives, very clear motives. Right? That means what you want to do for God, you must know what you're doing, you must know why you are doing it. Okay, and you must be very clear on this, because after all, at the end of the day, it's very hard to read each other's hearts, right? And sometimes almost impossible. Who knows what is going on inside your heart? The Lord Himself knows. That's why we must serve with pure motives. Because sometimes there might be accusations. Sometimes we might even question our own motives. Why am I doing this? Am I really doing this for the right reason? Right? And Paul here testifies. He says in verse 33 to verse 34. He says, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Right? And this is likely because maybe some people have said, oh, you see Paul? He's collecting some things here and there. Right? Actually, Paul was, we know, he was collecting all these tithes and offerings, right, to be able to help others. Right, to send some of these collections to Jerusalem and etc. Right, so that's part of it. But some people accuse him. Oh, you see Paul? Oh, he's collecting all these things and he's traveling here and there. Right, collect and then go to the next city. It's actually for himself. So such accusations might have come along Paul's way. But Paul is just simply declaring here. You see, I have coveted no man's silver or gold apparel. See, I do not want any of these things. Verse 34, yea, ye yourselves know. Urias's phrase is rather similar to what is declared before. He's telling his Ephesian elders, you know, these 3 years when I was with you, you think I was a very prosperous man, living in a big mansion, and then while accumulating lands for myself, and having many fine apparels. You think Paul is bringing along his whole wardrobe, right? All his very nice robes. Wow, blue rope, purple rope, silver rope, gold rope, and then one big treasure chest full of gold and silver. You think an apostle Paul traveled like this in his missionary journeys? Definitely not. So Paul says, you yourself know, what do I have to do with all these riches that you know people accuse me of? He says, these simple hands have just ministered unto my necessities. Whatever I need, I just take, and then that's it. I survive, that's all. Right? And to them that were with me. That's all. Whatever is necessary for himself, for his mission team, and for those other saints around, he just takes, distributes, just survive, do God's work. That's it. Right? And Paul is saying that my motives are very clear. Not one of covetousness. Nothing for himself. Right? This is tied to the point on the selfless servant that we have looked at. So, you know, likewise, for you and I also, this is a point of examination. Right? I'm not saying that anyone is serving here out of wrong motives, okay? Right? I mean, you yourself will know. Right? I wouldn't know. Okay? So the thing is here, it's a point of self-examination. Make sure that all motives for serving the Lord is always clear, always pure, always right. That's why we constantly reflect. You know, as I have served the Lord here, you know, I've gone through this event, I've organized something, I've arranged something, I've taught the children, I've sung in the choir. Sometimes it's always good to stop and think, why am I doing this? What have I done it for? Right? Isn't that why we have like even devotions in choir to remind ourselves why we're doing this? Isn't that why we begin and end in prayer and service? Not just for the sake of, you know, oh, I must begin and close in prayer, part of a ritual. But it's always to remind ourselves at the beginning and at the end why we're doing all these things. Right? And so it's to remind ourselves of our motives. So that when we pray, you cannot pray. I mean, you should not be able to pray the wrong motives, okay? Right? You should not be able to. Right? So it's really to remind ourselves of why we do this. Right, for the sake and glory of God. You know, and this is also to encourage ourselves that, you know, when we are doing all those things, it's not for our own self. What do we have to gain from it? Right, and you think, the Lord has given to us a great deal of things. Right, likewise for Paul himself, I believe Paul also was given a great deal of things. Right, people entrusted tithes and offerings to him, right, and all that. But, you know, for us ourselves, same thing. The Lord has given to us a great deal of things, a great deal of blessings, to put it that way. Right, you have a church to be found in. You have friends in the church. You have a spiritual family also in the church. Right, some of you, your whole families are here. Right, and there are a great deal of things, that resources that God has given to us also to be used for the ministry also. The thing is this, you know, with all these things that God has given to us, right, have we used them out of pure motives for the Lord himself? Something to think about. All right, it's not for our own benefit, not for our own gain. Right, like, for example, when we have friends in church, okay, why do we have friends in church? Have you ever asked yourself this? Is it so that when you come to church on Sunday, it's not so boring? At least I have a friend. I can sit down and make small talk, so I don't look so awkward and alone. Is it like that? I hope not, right? I mean, you know why God has given to you friends and fellow laborers in church, right? So that when you serve the Lord, you're not alone. Right? So that when you teach, you're not alone. You have someone to, you know, encourage you, someone to look out for you, right? Same thing, I mean, a choir. I mean, you have each other, right? You sing together. You minister together. Otherwise, you stand there and sing solo. I mean, pretty frightening, right? So, you see, God has given to us all these friends, spiritual family, co-laborers around. I mean, to help and edify one another. It's mutual edification. We check on one another. We encourage each other. We teach each other. We serve together. All right? So, I hope you understand and think carefully. You know, when we serve the Lord, why? Why has God given to us friends? Right? In the youth, in the Ebenezer Fellowship, in the Shomerim, same thing. Why has God given to me this fellowship? Is it just so I can meet, you know, just talk with other people and then that's it? Is it just a social gathering for myself? It's not like that. There's a purpose behind it all. So always know our motives. What do we desire when we go to this fellowship? Is it for our own personal benefit or gain? Or is it for the Lord? Or is it for another person's gain? That we encourage someone else? That we serve someone else or so? And, you know, if our motives are not clear and pure, that is where we are not effective in service. Because it's just for myself, for my own convenience, for my own sake, right? So that I can be happy. But we don't think, how does it help someone? How does it encourage someone? How does it make the Lord pleased? How does it please our Master, not ourselves, right? And sometimes it becomes quite dangerous also in the church, especially, I mean, things like social media, for example, right? Maybe amongst the youths, right? Sometimes, you know, look at some of my friends around. I don't know why they post so many things on social media. I know that social media is wrong, okay? It's just a tool. But sometimes they post a lot of things. And, you know, they keep posting photos of themselves in church. And my students included, right, in BCEA. Right? Sometimes I do not know why. Right? On Facebook, they keep posting so many photos of themselves. Take so many selfies on the campus. I don't know why. Right? They say, oh, God is good. You know, I'm blessed to be here. I mean, you post it once in a while. Okay, you want to testify and show everyone that, oh, you're doing very well. You're very healthy. Okay, maybe fine. But when it becomes like a, you know, every other day you do this, well, you dress up very nicely and, you know, I don't know. Sometimes I question, why do you keep doing this? Is it to get attention, to get likes and little hearts and little emoticons, you know, so that you're happy? I don't know, okay? Whether it's in Kenya or here in Singapore, sometimes I do question, I mean, what do you go to church for? So that you can dress nicely with your friends and take photos and, you know, carry babies and look cute. I mean, nothing wrong with sharing photos of children, okay? I mean, you want to show people, oh, you know, they see they're growing up, they're doing very well and a lot, fine. All right, but when it becomes like a every other day kind of a thing, and you look at, you know, some people's feet, this is the only things that they have on it, sometimes you wonder, you know, what good does it do? Right? Does it really glorify anyone? Does it really glorify the Lord? Does it really help or encourage anyone? Or is it just for your own sake? Right? So some things like that, you think carefully about it. Right? So this is the world today. Right? Even we Christians, sometimes we're not careful. We present a picture of ourselves. Right? Again, of course, I do not know their motives, right, behind all these things, but sometimes we present a very wrong picture of ourselves, of why we are in church. Right? So we have to carefully examine all these things. Right? So that's just one of the applications that I thought of, right? Something to think about. Right? But of course, adults, right? Sometimes it can be a different kind of a danger. Right? Danger of just having a social gathering and then just small talk and then that's it. Church must not just be like that. I'm not saying you can't have small talk, right? Of course, you must have small talk, right? To exchange news about your life. To know each other better, you must have that. You cannot take that away. Right? But that must not be the only thing, right, that features in your fellowship. Otherwise, that's for your own personal gain only. Right? It doesn't benefit the person, doesn't benefit yourself, just more talk. Right? Empty words, and then that's it. All right. But on top of that, all these little talks, little conversations, these little jokes here and there sometimes must draw you closer, all right, and must allow you to know each other better. And then with such, you know, hey, this is the person's character. And then you can encourage a person. You know this person's weaknesses or so. You're able to edify the person, help the person. All right? Not for our own self, right? But for each other's edification. And of course, ultimately for the Lord himself. Paul, that's why, declares, right, I have coveted nothing. Nothing for myself. Right? But all for the Lord only. Whatever is necessity for myself, I just take what is necessary. And then that's it. Right? But everything else, for the Lord's sake. That's all. Right? It's more than just physical things, all right? But the heart of covetousness, it must not be there in our service. It must always be for others, for the sake of the Lord. Right? To love the Lord, to love his people, that's why we serve the Lord, right? For his glory and for the sake of others that God has placed around us. And this will lead us to the next point, actually, all right, in verse 35. This is a service of exemplary servanthood. Right, in verse 35, a service of exemplary servanthood. That means Paul by himself, by his own example, right, he will show others how to be a servant of the Lord. Right, and that's why Paul declares again, right, I have showed you all things. Very bold statement, right? You think about Paul's testimony down here, right, in this passage. You notice that he makes a lot of bold statements. Not that because Paul was very proud, right, but because he has served with very pure motives, a clear conscience, he can really say that to the best of his ability, to the best of his efforts, with the time that he has been given with them, whatever he could do, he has really showed them all things by example. Right? And he says, I've showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it is more blessed to give than to receive. You know this last phrase down here that Paul quotes about the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, it's interesting to find that this phrase is not actually found in the Gospels at all. Right? It's not found in the Gospels. It's not directly there. Even though this principle is sometimes expressed by the Lord Jesus Christ, right, in his selfless service, right, how he came as a suffering servant, how he selflessly served the people and his own apostles. Right? This was exemplified in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, even though it's not quoted, right, directly in the Gospels. Some commentators would say that this is probably this would probably show that Paul himself, he had this private communion with the Lord Jesus Christ himself, by the divine inspiration of God, some of the words of Christ were expressed to him, right? I mean, we do not know the full teachings of Christ also. So many sermons that Christ has preached, right? Perhaps these are some words of the Lord Jesus Christ given to Paul. And Paul shares them, right, to these Ephesian elders. Right? So actually, you know, sometimes we say it's more blessed to give than to receive. It comes from this verse, actually. So now Paul is saying that in his own life, right, this has sort of like, not just a motto, but it has been one of the key principles of service that he has held, right, in servanthood, right, what he has done in his life, right, amongst the Ephesians, right, is to basically support the weak, right, and he finds that it is a greater blessing, right, to give than to receive. It's not just about going there to see, you know, what he can receive, right, like what has been mentioned before, but what he could do for others, what he could do for the sake of Christ. You know, and as you look at this first phrase, I have showed you all things by example. Now, it's also a point to reflect on you and I. Of course, nobody starts a service, you know, you don't start serving a lot perfectly, right? We spend our whole entire life learning along the way. Right? We learn how to be better in service. We pick up skills along the way. We reflect. We learn how to be more mature in service. We learn how to be more focused along the way. Right? And as we grow in the service of the Lord, right, we must also grow as an example. Right? We have to also understand and know that service is not just about ourselves, not just what I go there and what I can do for others. But we also must understand and know that as we serve, there is also a part of testimony. Right? And our testimony itself is also part of service, by our example itself. Right? Because everyone serves the Lord in a different way. Not everyone goes up to the front to sing in a choir. Not everyone teaches in the children's ministry. Some serve very quietly in the background. Right, and some, you know, that are weaker, perhaps. For example, I mean, we have many who are old and elderly in the congregation. And frankly speaking, you think about it, what can they do? You think very carefully. You compare an elderly person, right, in the church to some of the youths down here. You see the big difference. You realize how limited their service is, right? I mean, thank God that they are here in church, right, in their, you know, in their evening years of their life, right? But you see how limited their area of service is. But yet still, this is one area that they can serve a lot in. Right? They have no excuse that, oh, I cannot serve a lot. They still can, by example. You see some of them, very cheerful, right? Very, very glad to be found in church, very happy to be amongst God's people. That by itself is an example. Right? And compared to some of us sometimes, oh, I've come to church, weary and tired. Then you have this elderly person, oh, smiling, so happy to be there in church. Example, right? By testimony, they have showed us, right, by example, what it is like to be found in the house of the Lord, to serve him, to worship him. Sometimes just service by participation. That's it. Right? They become an example to us. And likewise, we ourselves, you know, when the Lord gives to us more strength, more time, right, more talents or more gifts, we are more accountable to the Lord, isn't it? So many areas that we can exemplify our service in. Right? Not saying we exemplify to show off, okay? But we are accountable to the Lord. Right? If you serve in a more prominent area, then you know. Right? Even if you don't serve in a prominent area, that doesn't mean, oh, you see, I'm just a small person in the church. I'm not so prominent. My testimony doesn't count. No. Don't ever say that. Right? Your testimony is important. Right? I'm sure you have friends around you in church. I hope you have friends around you. Right? You have also a testimony amongst your family, right? Many of you here have families. So, yeah, your testimony is important. It doesn't matter whether it's to, you know, the entire church or whether it's just to one person. You know, your testimony to just one person is just as important to 10 people. Right, so Paul himself, right, amongst, of course, he being an apostle, he was prominent, right, amongst the whole church. But what he's trying to show is this, is that with his life, with what he could do, he wanted to exemplify what it means to serve the Lord. And that's why he could declare, I showed you all things. So likewise, you know, as you think about your service for the Lord, whether you are young, whether you are old, just be an example. Right? Whether you are a child, don't ever think, oh yeah, service is just for adults, I'm just a child, what can I do? You're important also. Right, you sing in a congregation, right? Sometimes in a, you know, sometimes around the children's program, sometimes you also help a little bit, right? That's service for the Lord. At home also, you are serving a lot at home, right? Your testimony to your parents is just as important as your parents' testimony to you, right? So things like that, right? So all these kind of things, we have to understand and carefully think, how much of an example have we been, right, in our Christian life, right, in service to the Lord? Right, and can we truly say that, you know, at the end of, well, Paul's time with them has ended, so he must move on, not that he's dying right now, but maybe perhaps at the end of our lives, let's say if the Lord comes tomorrow, Have we, you know, been exemplary in our service and testimony to the Lord with all this time that God has given to us? Lord comes tomorrow, then that's it really. Our service comes to a close on this earth. Then our only time to be an example to others has ended already. In heaven, what example are you going to be, right? You realize that you can't be an example to others in heaven. You realize that it's really ended. Our term of service as an example to others, as a testimony to others, is here on this earth. Right, so this is the only time that we can do this. Right, so exemplary servanthood, that's part of our service. And then finally, as we close, you know, from verse 36 to 38, I'm not going to go through every single verse, but here we see the impact of service. Right, the impact of service. Here we see the closeness between Paul and this Ephesian elders. You see how much they loved him and how much he loved them also. Right? You see the impact that he has on their lives. It's not just about emotions. Of course, here we know, right? They wept, you know, they fell on his neck, they kissed him, they really loved him so much. Right? And then verse 38, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake. Interesting, right? Sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they would see his face no more. They missed him and his preaching and teaching. Right? They know that this time, Paul's time with them has ended. They are not going to hear his words anymore. They sorrowed for that. Right? Not just his presence with them, not just his fellowship with them, but they know. Right? Paul's time of close teaching with them for 3 years has ended really, and they're not going to see him anymore. That's why they wept, they sorrowed. This is the impact that Paul has upon their lives. Right? The impact of God's word that he has been able to preach and teach. And likewise again, you know, for you and I, what impact do we have in the lives of others? Right? This is quite tied to the previous point. You know, last night we had this discussion question, right, about impact, isn't it? Right, who has an impact upon your Christian life? And, you know, last night, as I sat with the mixed group of Ebenezer and Shomarim, a little part of me wished that I could record the words that they say. Because sometimes amongst your friends, not so paisey, right? You say amongst your friends, oh, my parents have impacted me in this way, you know, they have prayed for me, oh, they've shown an example to me, you know, this and that person in the church also has been an example to me. But sometimes a bit paisey, right, to go to this person and tell them, right? Sometimes we don't say enough of these things to our parents. I wish I could have recorded, okay? Maybe parents, you're going to ask your children what they said yesterday, right? Let's see whether they'll say the same things they said last night, right? But I'm quite touched in a way, right, that many of them shared about their parents, right? You who are sitting down here, right, how you have prayed for them, how you have disciplined them, how you have, you know, made sure they have done their devotions and things like that. It matters to them. That's the impact that you have on their lives. Even though they might not say it sometimes. I know myself, okay? I don't think I've said enough of these things to my parents or so. The things I mentioned last night. Okay, so these are things that you and I have to understand, right? We have an impact on others around us. Parents to children, and sometimes even children to parents, right? As an encouragement. Right? And likewise, you know, we have to reflect and think of this point. How much of an impact do we have on others around us? And I hope and pray that as we end this morning's devotion, we reflect upon some of these points of service and think, you know, how have we impacted the life of others? Not for ourselves, of course, but how have we spiritually helped someone? Not from our own strength or abilities, but by God's grace. Right? Have we been able to commend and entrust others to the Lord? Right? Pray for them, right? Assure them by the word of God. Have we been able to serve with a pure motive? Right? Loving the Lord, loving others around us. Have we been able to serve with exemplary servanthood by our example, being an encouragement as a testimony to others around us? And by such, you know, have we been an impact upon some others around us? Might not be many people, it is just one person. I believe that is good enough. Right? And if you have your own family, you impact your family. Right? Sometimes don't need to think, well, I must impact the whole church. I mean, of course, in some way you can, but start small. Right? So whether you're a child, whether you're an adult, no excuse, right? We all can have an impact in some way or the other. Sometimes you don't need a lot of words, right? Sometimes just by living, just by service. I'm not a good person with words, right? I'm socially quite awkward sometimes, okay? When I sit with people. But I try to do what I can, right? And sometimes we are like that, right? We are all different. Different characters, different dispositions, right? As Preacher Clement has mentioned. But I think, you know, we all can serve a lot in different ways. And by example, we just do. That one everyone can see, right? So not to show off, right? But in our character, in our attitudes, in our service, we do what we can, right? And I pray that while we are here on this earth, for this little while, right, for this little while in our pilgrim journey, let us serve the Lord together as missionaries, as pilgrims, as we do the Lord's mission, as we do the Lord's work, as we do the Lord's purpose, right, as His servants. Right, let us pray. Our Father and our God, we pray that as we reflect on the words of the Apostle Paul, we know that these are Your words to us also, not just to the Ephesian elders. O Lord, as we think of our service this year, as we think of our service throughout our time in this church, O Lord, what have we done for Thee? O Lord, have we served Thee with the right heart? We can only ask ourselves at times, and we pray that Your Holy Spirit will convict us, forgive us for the times when we have not served Thee with purpose, when it has been out of the wrong purpose or our own purposes, but we pray that our purpose will be all and only for Thee, and pray that we will have also a good impact upon others, showing a good example of the Lord Jesus Christ and His word in our life, and we pray that we'll be able to encourage one another in Thy service, O Lord. So help us as Thy people to serve Thee with one heart and one mind, in the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ, led by the same Spirit and Comforter together. And as we do all things, help us to edify one another, and help us, O Lord, to be entrusted into Thy hand. Lord, for Thou art our God and our Shepherd, may You continue to watch over Thy people in this church. So we commend ourselves unto Thee, O Lord, this morning, for Thy word is true and sure, and for Thou art our faithful God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.